Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. And welcome to Lawmaster, God's Invalidation of the Vatican's Iniquitous Passover Law. Mr. Hart is a former Christian. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Mr. Hart would like to share the findings of his 37-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, which Mr. Hart says is known by the Vatican as the Authorized Version. Mr. Hart has a unique logical approach to the Authorized King James Bible. Mr. Hart is not a Christian or a religionist. Though racism, white supremacy's age-old dissent and violent tactics are alive and well, Mr. Hart's counter...
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'll continue. Mr. Hart has taken the Authorized King James Version, logically restructured its abstruse compilation, and separated the truth from fiction and fable. He also successfully isolates, defines, and demonstrates with clarity who is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise is that the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law between the Pope, the Supreme Pontiff, the papacy, and, in other words, white people. And this is exclusively and for the stressed purpose for subjugating all non-white people and the enslavement and subsequent complete destruction of Africans. Mr. Hart's only bibliography is the King James Bible, the Authorized Version, of course, which the Roman Catholic Church and is exclusively a product of the Vatican. So joining us now this morning is Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart. Mr. Hart?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to say hello to everyone. Let me read this also. Thanks for that introduction. I'm just going to read the description here. Mr. Hart, who by himself has cracked the complex issues contained in the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, will continue to speak on the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law. In the Passover law, the Vatican's despite to its black people is clear. In this episode, God will reveal the law, God's Freedom of Information Act, a law which renders the Vatican's law of Passover null and void. This question will be answered. What has God done in light of and in spite of the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law? Mr. Hart will address this question of interest. Numbers 23:23. What hath God wrought? And if we can go down the board here. All right. Let's just stop right there then. Mr. Hart will address this question of interest, Numbers 23:23, what hath God wrought? In this broadcast, I will revisit the Vatican's anti-African objectives against black people. I will continue my discussion on the iniquitous Passover law, and I have other information I would like to share as well. So I will begin with the Vatican's anti-African objectives, which the Vatican in the Authorized Version Bible calls curses. A reading from the law, a reading from the record of the Lord's curse against Africans. Excuse me. This great man, the Vatican, the papacy, he uttereth his mischievous, injurious, harmful desire. This is from the Vatican. This is the Vatican speaking, saying, I will bring evil upon this people, the Africans. I will scatter them among the nations of the Gentiles and disperse them in the Gentile countries. I will stretch out my hand upon them. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies. Now, that's a good point to remember right there. Coming from the Vatican, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies. I will deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Jeremiah 21:14, Jeremiah 34:20. Also, I read statements coming from Michael 7:3, Isaiah 24:3. Going on, the Vatican has said, I will pluck them, the Africans, out of their land, Jeremiah 12:14. I will pursue the Africans. I will overtake the Africans. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will divide them and scatter them, Exodus 15:9, Genesis 49:7. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face, in the day of their calamity, Jeremiah 18:17. I will scatter them, the Africans, also among the heathen, Gentiles, commonly called white people, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. Wrath is upon all the multitude thereof, Ezekiel 7:12. The Vatican continues in its anti-African objectives, saying, I will search and take them out. And though they, the Africans, go into captivity under their enemies, the Gentiles, this will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I, the Vatican, the papacy, will set mine eyes upon them, the Africans, for evil and not for good. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies, Amos 9:3-4, Jeremiah 20:4. Pray not for this people for their good. I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them, Jeremiah 9:16. I will consume them, the Africans, by the sword and by famine and by the pestilence, Jeremiah 14:11-12. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child, pregnant women, shall be ripped up, Hosea 13:16. I will cause them, the Africans, to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth, Jeremiah 15:4. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. That fear and dread, I say here, in the Authorized Version, is known as and called the Holy Ghost. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. They shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, trembling shall take hold of them, Exodus 15:16, Isaiah 13:8, Exodus 15:15. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they, the Africans, cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them, Ezekiel 8:18, saith the Vatican. Let it be written that they, the Africans, may be destroyed. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Vatican, the papacy, the Gentiles. There the Africans' land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. Isaiah 24:3. They, the Africans, shall speak with new tongues, their captors' languages. They, the Africans, shall lick the dust, do servile work. They shall be afraid, Michael 7:17, of the Lord. And Lord, here is a reference to the Vatican, the papacy, the Gentiles. Isaiah 8:22, they shall be driven to darkness, hopelessness, despair. those are anti-African objectives set forth by the papacy and carried out against Africans, black people, by the Gentiles. The Vatican has ordered the Gentiles, Jeremiah 6:19, Deuteronomy 7:21, Psalm 59:13, Proverbs 1:13. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, the Africans. I shall scatter them, the Africans, among the nations of the Gentiles, and disperse them among the Gentiles. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them. The Vatican is speaking to the Gentiles. For the Lord thy God is among you, Gentiles, a mighty God and terrible. Consume them, the Africans, in wrath. Consume them, that they may not be. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Reading on, Ezekiel 11:8, Isaiah 21:17, I believe. I will bring a sword upon you. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a great captivity. And this is the Vatican speaking to black people, to the African nations. Therefore will I cast you out of this your own land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Jeremiah 16:13. Ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and I will cause thee, the Africans, to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. Your strength shall be spent in vain. Think about the slaves. Jeremiah 17:4, Leviticus 26:20, and it came to pass. Ezekiel 5:14, Deuteronomy 4:27. I will make thee waste as species, as feces, and a reproach or disgrace among the nations of the Gentiles. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen or Gentiles, whither the Lord shall lead you. Jeremiah 49:15, 2 Kings 15:12, Acts 2:38, Deuteronomy 28:33. I will make thee small among the heathen, Gentiles, and despised among men. And it came to pass, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, intense fear. And it came to pass. Slaves feared their masters, slaves feared all the Gentiles. Thou, the Africans, shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. All right, thou shalt consume, here the Vatican is speaking directly to the Gentiles, saying, thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them, the Africans, to thee, and thou shalt destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven until thou have destroyed them. They shall no more be remembered by their name. Ye shall destroy all this people, the Africans. Numbers 32:12, as pertains to the Lord's curse against the Africans, the Gentiles have wholly followed the Lord, or the Vatican, the papacy. All right? That's a reading from the law of the curse, and or it can be called, that's a reading from the anti-African objectives that were set forth by the Vatican and carried out by the Gentiles against black people. Now, in the Authorized Version Bible, the anti-objectives are called curses, okay? They are called curses in the Bible. So who am I to say they are not curses? And pertaining to the objectives which I just read, history bears witness that the Gentiles carried out all the law, all the Vatican's anti-objectives against African people, black people. All right. To this very day, black people don't know what they were called before the invasion and onslaught of the Gentiles against Africa and its inhabitants. We don't know what specific geographical locations we are from, among other things as well. But that's an important reading of the Vatican's anti-objectives that the Gentiles carried out against black people and against Africans. All right? Now, I say black people and I say Africans because we're all Africans. You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking about, I know those black people of us who are here in the United States. And, of course, black people are scattered throughout all of Europe and in all territories, non-European territories that the Gentiles have taken rulership over and ownership. Okay. Now, I had promised to do this reading a few weeks ago, and I have just fulfilled that promise. All right. Now, I need to read this as well. I read earlier in previous broadcasts picture, the law in a picture, Revelation 18, where slaves are mentioned among other things that are bought and sold. And I told you that that passage, Revelation 18, 11 through 13, gave the Gentiles the legal right to buy and sell black people or Africans as they would any other merchandise. All right. Also, we can add to that this statement coming from Genesis 42:34. Ye shall traffic in the land. And, of course, that's exactly what the Gentiles did with Africans. They trafficked us. They dealt in trafficking, slave trafficking. We all know that. That is history. Now, what we may not have known that all these things pertaining to black people and Gentile activity against black people was in the Bible. We didn't know that all of these things were in the Bible. Ye shall traffic in the land. That is the law that gave the Gentiles the legal right to buy and sell human beings as they would any other merchandise, right? Noting also that the Vatican declassified Africans, taking them away from the order of Homo sapiens and putting them into the category of things that are bought and sold. All right. Now, let's move on. I want you to remember those things. Take these things to heart, that your Bible talks in detail about the aggression carried out against black people, Africans, by the Gentile captors who became slave masters. All right. Very important. Very important for us to note that there is more in your Bible than just Jesus died for your sins. Matter of fact, that statement is not in the Bible, Jesus died for your sins. I don't know why we let black preachers continue to tell us that. That statement is not in the Bible. And also, while I'm on that point, let me say this, that to my knowledge, there is not a statement that says, give your life to Jesus. Isn't that what the ministers say? Give your life to Jesus. There is no statement in the Bible that says that. We have been sold a bill of goods. Okay, moving on. And being intelligent people as we are, we need to pay attention to this information. We need to judge ourselves, our ministers, by the truth and by the knowledge that I'm bringing forth having to do with Bible content. I think my teaching also shows that we have not been taught Bible content. That which we have gotten from the ministers and all is not Bible stuff. As I said, you can't find a statement that says give your life to Jesus in the Bible. You cannot find a statement that says Jesus died for your sins. All right? Those things are not in the Bible, but that's what men say. And we have gone by what men have said, although we have the Bible and we say we can read. All right? Very important points. Very important points. Okay, let's move on. All right. Last week I spoke about the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. Okay. The Bible says in Job 38:4, it says, speaking to me, declare if thou hast understanding. Last week I declared that we are living in the time of resurrection. All right. And this resurrection has nothing to do with the resurrection of dead bones or dead bodies in the graves and all. It has to do with Bible things, the resurrection of Bible things, as I just alluded to. We have not been taught Bible content. We have not been taught things that are actually in the Bible. All right? So what I have done, and I think this was my declaration, that the dead are resurrected. Now, when the Bible speaks of the dead being resurrected, it is talking about the dead issues of Scripture. Okay, get this clearly. It is speaking about the dead issues of Scripture. What I am doing, what I have done, I have raised the dead issues of Scripture. I have raised them. I am using them. Even the simple term Gentile, I have raised that term because, as I said on another broadcast, Gentiles stopped using that term openly in reference to themselves. But that's what they are. So I have raised that term Gentile. I am using the term Gentile. The term Gentile with regard to me has been resurrected. Okay, I have resurrected the anti-African objectives that were in the Bible. We're talking about the resurrection of the dead, and I want to make this clear what that has to do with. I have resurrected the Vatican's anti-African objectives that have been lying in the Bible all these years, and nobody teaching them. I have raised them, I've brought them up, I've brought them forth, considered them, brought them forth, and I'm working with them. I just read them, or some of them, earlier on this broadcast. The anti-African objectives, or the Vatican's curse against Africans, has been raised. All right? Another thing that has been raised is the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law. I have raised that law from the dead. I have raised it from Scripture. Okay? You didn't know that the law even existed. I have, by my knowledge, by my information, you are finding out that there is a Passover law. Okay? And that law has been valid up to these last days. Okay? And I have given you points from that Passover law, okay, which requires the Gentiles to be quiet on Bible issues that I have resurrected. And you know that they've been quiet on them because you haven't heard these Bible issues before. So I raise Bible issues, okay, and that's the resurrection of, that's what is meant by the resurrection of the dead in the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. All right? I have also resurrected the law of God, the law of God parts 1 and 2. I have resurrected both of those laws. Okay? I haven't read them yet, but I will read them, not on this broadcast. Stay tuned for the reading of the Law of God, Parts 1 and Part 2. So, I hope we have a good understanding of the resurrection of the dead. In that we are living in the time of the resurrection, we are also living in the time of God. We are living in the time of God's actual physical appearance on earth where no man is. And we know that in the Authorized Version Bible, no man is a reference to God. All right. Now, that's another issue I have raised. I have raised the issue of no man, and I have told you what that no man appellation is. All right. The average person through the years, when I've asked, what does the Bible mean when it says no man? You know, I've always gotten the response, well, it means no person, you know, not a person, no human being, something like that. No man does not mean that in the Authorized Version Bible. No man is a nickname for God, a name the Vatican has nicknamed, you know, applied to God. All right? And the one that the Bible calls God, not some God up in the sky somewhere, okay, but a real human being that the Vatican, in the Authorized Version Bible, calls God and Lord. All right, let's move on. Okay, if I can understand my own writing, it's my fault, forgive me. When those that were dead are resurrected, the resurrection is not a one-act event. Isaiah 41:23 says, show the things that are to come hereafter. Isaiah 41:23, a commandment, show the things that are to come hereafter. The resurrection of the dead has to do with those things which God has considered, dug up, prepared, and brought forth. In the Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, the things that are to come are the things in my book which do appear. Please pay special close attention to this so you won't miss it. In the Authorized Version Bible, the things that are to come are the things in my book which do appear. So then, I have fulfilled or carried out the commandment of Isaiah 41:23, which says, show the things that are to come. I show the things which the Vatican has spoken of beforehand in the Authorized Version Bible. So the things which are to come are now the things which do appear in my book. This is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and it is happening right before our very eyes. All right? Job chapter 28, verse 27. I want to turn to that passage. Job 28:27. Very important little statement. Job 28:27. And I'm turning to it. I have it here. Job 28:27 says these words. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. That is a description of what my work has consisted of. Seeing, searching out, preparing, declaring. Those are the things that I have done. Okay? Now, in the statement there, Job 28:27, those things are not in order. The order that I give to them is this. We have the words see, declare, prepare, and search. Okay? Let's put it like this. I saw things, I searched them out, I prepared them, and I now declare them. Okay? what are some of the things I have seen, searched out, prepared, and now declare? You've heard me say them several times. Some of those things are the law of God, parts 1 and 2. The Vatican's iniquitous Passover law, the Vatican's anti-African objectives called curses, the Vatican's curses against Africa and its inhabitants, the promises of God, the expectations of God, the confessions of the Vatican, the disclaimers of the Vatican, and other things. I don't have a list of them before me. The fear of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, hyphenated terms and their hidden meanings, and other things. Okay? But those are some of the things that I have seen in Bible content. I have searched them out throughout Bible content. I have prepared them, and I declare them verbally and by means of my book, the Book of the Law of God, All Things the Demonstrated Power of God. That statement, Job 28:27, tells using very few words, what my work has consisted of. Seeing, searching out, preparing, and declaring. Another thing that I have searched out is the time of the resurrection. What is the resurrection? Another thing I've searched out, what is the Bible? Some of you may have heard on previous broadcasts my lecture on Bible content. Things I've searched out, things I've seen, things I've prepared, and things I now declare. All right? So the resurrection has to do, the resurrection has, we are in the time of the resurrection. The resurrection is not a one-act event. The resurrection that will run for many years, as declared by the papacy in the Authorized Version Bible. The time of the resurrection will run for many, or is expected to run for many, many years. Give an example of that. Okay, in the United States, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States has to do with the cancellation of slavery in all territories, you know, in the United States and all its other territories. Neither slavery nor what involuntary servitude shall exist in the United States or any of its territories, something to that respect. Okay, freedom for black people is declared in that 13th Amendment. And we are still living in the time of the 13th Amendment. We are still living in the time of the 13th Amendment. Freedom for all subjugated people by the Gentiles. The cancellation of slavery. We are still living in the time of the 13th Amendment. And that is expected to run a long, long time. Okay, so the same with the resurrection, the time of the resurrection is expected to run a very long time. It is not a one-act event of dead bodies being brought back to life, okay? But it has to do with things, with Bible issues, okay? All right, so Job 28:27 is a brief on my work, all right? Concise statement of what I have done and what I do. All right, what are you to do? Turn to Psalm 32:8, and I will read that statement. Psalm 32:8 says these words. Let's see here, 32:8. The Vatican has said to me, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Okay? The important part coming out of that, the Vatican has said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. All right? What does that mean to you? What are you to do? I have received instruction from Bible content. I have received instruction. I have received information from Bible content. There's a statement in the book of John that says, no man receiveth his testimony. No man. No man being a real person. No man. Appellation, the Vatican applies to me, the person who has seen Bible issues, raised those issues, prepared them, searched them out, prepared them, and declared them. Okay? No man. The Vatican in Bible content calls me no man. The Vatican in Bible content calls God no man. All right? What are you to do? Proverbs 9:6. The Vatican has said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way you should go. Proverbs 9:6 says this. Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's good advice. Go in the way of understanding. Since the end of slavery, there's a people who has not gone in the way of understanding with regard to Bible content. Do they love it? Do they love being in the dark? But anyway, there's a people who have not gone in the way of understanding. I decided some time ago that I would go in the way of understanding. I had to get understanding, you know what I'm saying? And as I would get understanding, I applied to my life. I began to understand some time ago that the things that were being taught in the church were not we're not according to Bible content. And I had to make the correction. I had to make changes. As I began to understand Bible content, I had to make changes because I apply the understanding that I gather. I apply the understanding that I gather from Bible content, from the study and scrutiny and analysis of Bible content. What do you do? Okay? And keep in mind again, and I've brought this up before, that the things that I teach are not taught in the church, in the churches. That's a good question. Why not? Why aren't they taught in the churches? Bible content, anti-African objectives, the Passover law, the law of God, the promises of God. I mean, there is nothing I teach that they teach in the church. And all my teaching is purely Bible. All I teach is on Bible matter. And none of this stuff is taught in the church. And does anyone care? Does anybody else say, why isn't it taught in the church? That's Bible matter. Okay, Proverbs says, again, 9:6, forsake the foolish. Forsake the foolish. I forsook the foolish. All right? And live and go in the way of understanding. Well, the Vatican has some bad things in Bible. It has some bad things. To me, the anti-African objectives or the curses against Africans and black people are not good things. But the Gentiles carried them out against black people. I don't consider those things to be good. Enslavement of black people, I do not consider it to be a good thing. But yet that thing happened, and that thing is in the Bible. Okay? Kind of lost my point there. But anyway, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. I understand the Passover law. I understand the Vatican's anti-African objectives. I understand the law of God. I understand the promises of God. I understand the fear of the Lord. I understand hyphenated terms as they are used in the Bible and their hidden meanings and other things. I understand. I am going in the way of understanding. I understand that Jesus in the Bible is a fictitious character. I understand that. I understand that the Bible is a law book. The Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version, is a law book through and through. I understand that now. And I apply those understandings to my life. I walk, and I want to walk, in the way of understanding and not in darkness. When I was in the church world, I didn't have any understanding of Bible content. I was just going by what I was told. I was going by what the slave masters told the slaves who couldn't read and didn't have a Bible, weren't allowed to have a Bible, were not allowed to read. They were dumbed down, made dumb. But one day I began to read the Bible to see what it says and not what Dr. So-and-so says. And I began to realize and see that, wow, what I was taught is not actually what the Bible says. It's not in any way what the Bible says. Matter of fact, I was taught everything contrary to Bible content. I began to see that. What Job said, then did he see it? He searched it out. He prepared it. And now he declares it. I was walking in the dark, in ignorance. I was walking not knowing, thinking I knew. I was deceived. And who deceived me? The Vatican and the Gentiles. But being that I could read, I saw that I was deceived. And I made changes. Isn't that something? I saw that I was deceived, and I made changes. So now I'm no longer deceived by Bible matter. I understand Bible matter, and I walk in that understanding. The question to you is, what are you doing? Now you may say, well, I'm not a Christian. Well, you don't have to be a Christian. Right? You may say, you're not this and you're not that, but do you have understanding? Because I see a whole race of people. I see a whole race of people as having been deceived. A whole race of people. That tells me that this information that I have is very important. Very important. This truth is salvation for those who have been deceived. Truth is salvation. Let's move on. What are you to do? Proverbs 9:6, go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding. Let's give ourselves a shakedown, a checkout, whatever you want to call it. Do you delight in understanding? Do you delight in the things that I teach? Because I teach Bible understanding. I give understanding of Bible content. Do you delight in understanding? Or do you delight in, you know what I'm saying, anything other than what I teach? All right? Anything other than what I teach. A fool has no delight in understanding. That's, the Bible said that, you know. Well, I like to have understanding. I like to have understanding of Bible content. By that means, I can teach somebody else and bring them out of their state of deception. You may say you haven't been deceived. You are a Christian and you love Jesus. Well, that shows right there that you've been deceived, but you just don't know it. The average deceived person will say, I'm not deceived. He doesn't know he's deceived. That's why he's deceived. Okay, a fool has no delight in understanding. Isaiah 27:11 says, it is a people of no understanding. And remember, Bible matter talks about Bible matter. When it says it is a people of no understanding, it's talking about a people of no understanding of Bible things, Bible issues. The understanding that they have is wrong when matched and compared with Bible content. It's wrong. Okay? It is a people of no understanding. Just think of all the people who've been taught falsely, and they may say they know the truth. How great is the deception? But again, how great is truth when truth comes along? The Bible says in John, light has come into the world. Light, knowledge, truth, understanding has come into the world. All right? But again, right after that, it says, men love darkness rather than light. All right? Which do you favor, darkness or light? Truth or deception? Truth or lies? Understanding or fables? All right? Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 14:20, in understanding, be men. Be men having understanding. The question, Mark 7:18, are ye so without understanding? The commandment, Proverbs 4:5-7, get understanding, and many people can quote that. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Get knowledge. Get understanding. Forget it not. With all I getting, get understanding. All right? What have I done? I have fulfilled these two commandments. Ecclesiastes 1:13, which says, seek and search out all things. And 2 Isaiah 41:23, I have shown in my book, the book of God, the things that are to come are now the things that do appear. They appear in my book, God's book, the book of the law of God, all things, the demonstrated power of God. Seek and search out. Search out means to look through writings, records, etc., to establish certain facts, to find out or uncover by investigation. That's what I've done. I have scrutinized Bible content, analyzed Bible content. I have searched out Bible content, and I have found the truth of the matter. That's what I say. You may say differently. I say I have found the truth of the matter. I found that I was deceived. And I kept studying, and I came out of my deception, or the Gentiles' deception that was cast upon me. I'm free of that deception now. Don't tell me the religious lies, okay? And that's the difference in religion and truth, you know, of Bible content. Religion steers people away from truth of Bible content. It steers people away from the truth. And so when truth comes along, the religious people say, that ain't right. Haven't studied anything, but yet they'll say, that ain't right. How they know? They haven't studied. All right? All right, let's move on. Okay. There is a saying, seeing is believing. A question of interest. The Vatican has asked me, Amos 7:8, what seest thou? Let's put the question in context. Revelation 1:10 says, what thou seest, write in a book. And Revelation 1:19 says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I have received the Vatican's instruction. to what? To write. Write the things that I see. Where? In the Bible. In Bible content. Write the things that I see. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are. The things that actually exist. Such as the law of the curse, the Vatican's law of the curse against black people. It exists. I just read from it today. The law of Passover. I read from it last week. It exists. The law of God, parts 1 and 2. Those two documents exist. They exist. You know, they exist. Hence the question, Amos 7:8, what seest thou? My answer to the Vatican. As a result of my scrutiny and analysis of the crucial matter of Bible content, I have seen that I am the target of the Vatican's crucial matter of the Authorized Version Bible. I have seen that the Authorized Version Bible is a law book through and through. I have seen that the Authorized Version Bible descended from the Vatican. I have seen that in the crucial matter of the Authorized Version Bible, the papacy calls me, among other titles, God and Lord. I have seen that the crucial matter of Bible content is authoritative. It is effectual, having legal force. It is timeless. Those are some of the things I have seen. That, in part, is my answer to the Vatican. The sign says in Exodus 19:19, God answered him, the Vatican, by a voice. All right? And the sign, Psalm 118, verse 5 says, and it is a papal confirmation, the Lord answered me. That is, the Lord answered the papacy, the Lord answered the Vatican. Also know this, I have seen that the Vatican's crucial matter of the Authorized Version Bible without the response and answer from God is both incomplete and dead. But that crucial matter has been raised by God. I have seen that we are living in the time of the resurrection of the things that were once dead. Huh? But are now resurrected, being used, put in practice, etc. All right. Now, my computer has gone to sleep there. Let's see here. Those are the things I have seen. Those are the things I hope other people will see. We'll listen to and see also. All right? Very important things. I see that we don't have anybody, any callers. I don't see any red lights on or anything. Mr. Welch.
Yes, Mr. Hart.
Yes. Can you do give the announcement with regard to the links and all, please, and the Book of the Law of God and all?
Yes, certainly. And I also want to bring to your attention that there is 7 minutes remaining in the show.
Okay.
All right. And for the links, for our listening audience, if you would like to purchase a copy of the manuscript for $12, you will be able to download a copy in PDF form immediately to your computer. The address is www.inlightstone.net. That's www.inlight, like light, and the word stone, all one word, inlightstone.net. Also, you can catch Mr. Hart's videos on YouTube at www.youtube.com/Law of Gods. That's with an S. Law of Gods, all one word, on YouTube. Okay. And on the YouTube page are snippets and video footage of Mr. Hart's blog talk lectures. And also, I would like to put the call out to any Christian ministers, pastors, preachers, bishops, deacons, clergy, you name it. I urge you to call into the show with your questions and comments, and let's do a dialogue. You know, let's figure this thing out using logic. Calling all Bible experts. We want to hear from you. Okay. That's it, Mr. Hart. Back to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And let me know when we have about 2 minutes left. Okay. For this last section of my lecture, we will talk about the Passover law. I will give some final points on the Passover law. Keep the announcements made by Mr. Welch in mind. Act upon what you have heard. Act upon what you have heard. All right? But certainly, there is no other teaching openly done as such as being done here on Lawmaster's program, The Law of God. Okay? Now, for our final notes on the Passover law, the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law. Okay, here. Passover law. Passover, the word Passover means to omit, overlook, or disregard. Okay? The Passover law commanded the Gentiles, commonly called white people, to practice silence and teach deceit, lies, things that are not true and real. In the Passover law, the Vatican and the Gentiles' ill will toward blacks is evident. And I probably can say their ill will toward non-Gentile people is evident. Heretofore, blacks have not known of the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law. The question now is, in the Passover law, what has God found? My answer is this. In the Passover law, I have found damning evidence against the Vatican, the papacy, and the Gentiles.
2 minutes.
The Passover law. Hello?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we're down to 2 minutes.
Okay, let me read this quickly. The Passover law descended from the Vatican. It has reigned, having validity up to these last days. In the authorized version, it is the Passover law is fragmented and invisible. It speaks of deceit. Okay? The Passover law is evidence of fraud, deception. It is evidence of a conspiracy. Okay? The Passover law is evidence of a conspiracy to restrain knowledge and conceal truth. The Passover law is evidence of a conspiracy to mislead. It is evidence of a conspiracy to hide evidence. We will have to wait for the program next week to find out and answer the question, the Bible question, Numbers 23:23, what has God wrought? What has God done in light of the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law? Join us next week for this important information. That's our program for today. I have prepared it for you. Search these things out. And I hope that you, the listener, I know that you are being well informed, and I hope that you receive the information you hear from this program. I hope that you act on the information that you hear coming from this program. I hope that you will join us, because we are in a battle, the battle for truth, the battle to come out of the deceptive state we've been cast in. Join us next week for another informative program from Lawmaster, the law of God. Mr. Welch, I know our time is out for the screening of the program. Are there any questions or comments?
From the chat room, at this time, there is no activity.
Mm-hmm.
And no comments.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you have a question or anything that you want to say?
Oh, no, not at this time. I think this was a very thorough show. All my questions were answered during the during your presentation. Very well said.
Wonderful, thank you. So, do we stay on or do we go off?
Well, being that I'm the only one present, and I don't have any further questions or comments, I would say this is a wrap.
Okay, it's a wrap.
Until next week.
Yes, until next week. Thank you. Thank you for your work with me.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.